real quickly here before we get going. First of all, it's great to see everybody here today. I want to talk a little bit, just for a second here, about those chairs that you may or may not have noticed in the back. Really grateful for the opportunity that came up for us to be able to purchase those chairs as a congregation. We've been looking for some seating solutions for before I came, for quite some time. Probably six, at least six of these pews are completely unusable, and we're going to dispose of them, and then we'll be able to keep the rest in some way, shape, or form. And the chairs are going to do a couple things. Number one, they're nicer than what we've got. They're not falling down, and it's going to also increase our seating capacity, which we already need at the Lima Rally, and in time we will certainly need as a congregation. And so, really appreciate the opportunity to be able to get those. Really appreciate Jeremy in particular was kind of making a look out there, and so encourage you to go take a look at those, check them out. Davey spent, I think, about 6 hours cleaning up the chairs this past week, and so really just am glad for everybody's teamwork and being able to get those, and the assembly area might look a little bit different next week, 2 weeks from now, when we get that all put together. So that's the first thing. The second thing, as far as things are changing rapidly, things are changing rapidly as a state, as a country. Things we're in really a lot of uncharted territory. And for those of us who are Christians, we can have a lot of hope through this time. We know that we have the Lord's help, and so that there's no reason to fear. However, there are still housekeeping things to take care of and to pay attention to and that sort of thing. So I want to just kind of update you on our game plan going forward at this point. We did hear kind of in between assemblies that Governor DeWine has issued a shelter-in-place order starting tomorrow night, I believe. So not exactly sure how that affects us or what that looks like for next Lord's Day yet. But on Wednesday, we will not be meeting here on Wednesday. But what I would encourage you to do is we will be meeting online, and it'll kind of be more of an informal Bible study time. So I'll have a time where we ask for questions. We'll have a little devotional. It'll give us a chance to be able to see one another's faces, to be able to spend time with one another, and hopefully more people can participate that way. And the platform that we're going to use, I'll put on the Christ Church in Lima page. I'll also put it on my personal Facebook page, and I will text anybody who wants. But we'll use Zoom.us, okay? Zoom.us. Now, one of the things I like about that platform is that there is there's a number of different options. Number one, we can use it on your desktop. Number two, you can use it as an app on your smartphone. Number three, you can dial in with a landline if that's what you want to do. Okay, so you got a lot of different options. There's just a number that you use. There's a specific dedicated number from the landline. And with the app, it's video based, so we'll be able to see one another. There's also screen sharing capability that if I want to show you guys notes or whatever, we'll be able to do that as well. So that's the plan for midweeks going forward. On midweek, we'll probably have more information about what next Lord's Day looks like. Obviously, we'll meet in some capacity. Whether that looks like online or whether that looks like together, that's kind of yet to be determined. Because of the possibility that we will meet virtually, I would encourage you to, A, have some Lord's Supper supplies at your disposal, and B, I think we have some travel cases here, right?
Yeah, there's only one actual technical travel case.
Yeah,
Yeah. Individually baggy in the packages of approximately 30 in the kitchen on the table.
Yeah. So perfect for anybody didn't hear that or anybody There's some in the kitchen. Go ahead and take a bag. That way you have them. You have them for your family, and they're individually packaged. They're awesome, and they're perfect for situations like this, as long as you're not judging based upon taste. Okay, so they're less than bland. Yeah, they're interesting. All right. Is there anything else that maybe I talked about before that I should cover, Jeremy in particular? Okay. So, there is one other thing that I didn't mention earlier. For anybody, any of the kids, 12 to 18, 19, whatever, and there, we are meeting online on that same platform on Friday nights from 7 to about 9. We did it last Friday. It worked really well. We had people call in from Virginia. We had people call in from Montana and Michigan. So that was a really good, it was a really good time. We had some games for the kids during the first about 45 or 50 minutes, and then we did about 45 or 50 minutes of questions and answers and a little devotion time. It ended up working out really, really awesome. And so you can see my Facebook page for more information on that. I'll also post that to the Christ Church in Lima Facebook page. Okay. All right. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 6, focusing in on verse 8. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that, good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we are comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm just grateful and thankful for this day and this time and this ability to be able to dig into your word, Lord God. I just pray that you would bless it, and I am just I'm thankful for the technology that we have, that many of our number can be with us virtually, even if not physically at this time. And I just pray that you would bless the church throughout this country and throughout the world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we're talking about really living. Really living. What is real life? You know, one of the things about a crisis situation is that we find out what we prioritize. Apparently, a lot of people in this country prioritize TP. Okay? I understand that sentiment. I don't know that there's a crisis necessarily, but there seems to be a self-created one. We find out what it is that matters to us. What do we really care about? And so the question that I asked a couple of weeks ago is, what is real life? What does it mean to really live? Is it the things which entertain us? Is it the things which we maybe have to do to make a living? What is it that is real life? And we were looking to see that the Lord actually provides everything that we need to really live. That we don't have to wait to live until we get our resurrection bodies. We don't have to wait to really live until the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven. But rather, that the Lord has provided for those of us who are in Christ, that at the time of our immersions, we are raised up and we are seated with Him in the heavenly places, and we begin to really live. That is the life that we have in Jesus Christ. That is why the abundant life is the here and is the now, and is not related to what our 401k numbers say, no matter what Joel Osteen says. Real life is not circumstance dependent. What did Paul say? He said, I have learned, and you think about Paul's credentials here for a second, I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Like, that guy knew what he was talking about. you know, dangers by river, you know, dangers by robbers. You know that passage. And he had been through it all. I mean, the guy had been stoned to death, or at least close to it, left for dead. He knew what it was like. And he said, I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content. And none of those circumstances dictated to him whether he was really living or not. It was Jesus Christ who decided that he was really alive. He provides what we need in Jesus Christ to really live. And so we talked about how that really is the case. And we kind of made a comparison that certain psychologists have found out that as humans, there are certain things that we can all agree that we need. And now, some of these things, you certainly don't need a doctorate to be able to understand that we need them. I think that we can all go without debating that we all need air. You're without air? Hey, man, game over. Game over. Now, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is our breath of life, that breath of life is what the Lord gives us, that he breathes life into us to help us to become a mighty resurrected army, that he provides his Holy Spirit to us as the breath, the air, the sustaining breath that we need. There's an agreement that we need water. Well, again, that's kind of self-evident. Water. You know, the Holy Spirit, he is our water. He's the rivers of living water. We took a look at John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, where Jesus talks about the Spirit being the rivers of living waters and how he refreshes us continually. And we looked at John chapter 4 about how he promises the woman at the well that he will give rivers of living waters. And we looked, too, about how in Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, that the Holy Spirit is the seal of our redemption. And so the rivers of living water continue to refresh us, and they refresh us all the way to heaven. We also talked about the necessity of food. The necessity of food. And we took a look at John chapter 6, and we saw that he is our sustenance. The Lord is our food, that he sustains us, that our participation in the body of Christ is something that takes place on an everyday basis. It takes place on an every hour and every minute and every second basis that we participate in the body of the Lord. We get our sustaining life. We get our spiritual calories from the Lord on an ongoing and continual basis. And we also talked about the importance of the Lord's Supper and the role that the Lord's Supper plays in that. Because what the Lord does is, even though, you know, if we kind of think about it, the Holy Spirit, he is our drink, and the Holy Spirit, he is our food, and we're participating in the Lord on a continual basis. But the Lord also said, hey, look, I get that you guys are, you have physical bodies. It's not primarily who you are, but we are physical beings who have physical bodies. We're primarily spiritual beings who have physical bodies, not the other way around. But I said, because of that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide something tangible, something tactile for you to remember that I am your food and I am your drink. And that's what he does with the Lord's Supper, and that's why we celebrate that every Lord's Day, is because it's one of those awesome places where the physical and the spiritual really meet. And so when we participate in the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder. It is a participation in the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's also a connection in the food to an eating of the Word of God. The Lord provides spiritual calories for us to be strong Christians. He doesn't want us to just be looking at the milk of the word all the time. He wants us to help us to have some meat eating taking place here. And really, no, probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago now on Wednesday nights, that's really what we were working on in Hebrews chapter 6 there, where we go from the pure milk of the word to really, those are some basics. Now let's move on to some more meaty topics. So what else does the Lord provide for us? Well, the Lord provides shelter for us. We need shelter as human beings. At least we grow and thrive best where there is shelter. We seek, those who do not have shelter, seek to find shelter. Well, if shelter is a physical need, even those who are homeless, who are destitute, what are they looking to do? They're looking to put some sort of roof over their head. Even in our country, if that looks like an overpass, or I knew a guy locally who he was kind of living out of the back of one of the businesses there in a cutout cubbyhole there in Wauseon for a while. Okay, you're looking to find some sort of covering, some sort of shelter to be able to protect you from the elements. Well, the Lord provides our shelter. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Verses 6 through 9. I promise you I'm not contradicting myself here. We'll go all the way through. Okay. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, and starting in verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Therefore, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. And so, our ultimate home certainly is with the Lord. And He is completing that ultimate dwelling. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. Let's pick it up in 4. And coming to Him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Okay? So what's taking place right now is that this house of the Lord is being built one spiritual stone at a time. And at its completion, Jesus Christ will have His spiritual house, His spiritual temple, whereas Jesus is the cornerstone and the capstone of that temple. And it is made up of people. It is a temple of people. It's a house of people. And that is where we will ultimately be our dwelling. And ultimately, the Lord will be all in all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 28. And when all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to Him, that God may be all in all. That's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. But we have shelter right now. We have a covering right now. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Ephesians, the second chapter. And verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been raised up and seated to find new shelter in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Lord is our covering. The Lord is our shelter. And he provides to us all of the safety that comes from being in the Lord's house. See, we dwell with him right now there by faith on a continual basis. And what that allows us to do is it allows us to be protected from all of the elements. See, that's what the house does, right? What the house does is, okay, I am safe here. Okay, that's what the house is supposed to do. And when homes don't do that, that's when there's trouble, right? Okay, I am safe here. And so the Lord has provided this home for us, has seated us with him in the heavenly places, so that we can understand that the circumstances of the world do not dictate our identity. The circumstances of the world do not cause us to be in fear. The circumstances of the world do not cause a rocking to our shelter. Because it doesn't matter if it rains, it doesn't matter if it floods, it doesn't matter if it snows, it doesn't matter. All the things can come. But we know where we're sheltered. You know, it's like a shelter with the greatest home security system ever invented, right? Oh, who's going to take us out of the Lord's hand? Who's going to snatch us out of the Lord's shelter that he provides for us in glory? See, we can rest in the Lord's home knowing that all of the outside circumstances, that is the world that surrounds us, it can't touch us on any level that actually matters. Now, that doesn't mean that none of us are immune to the economic crisis that's coming. And it's coming. None of us are immune to the current pandemic. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that any one of us could get it. God is not promising that we're going to be okay and that we're going to have health. He is not promising that. But what he is promising is that if you see things from the correct perspective, you are going to be safe in his shelter. If you continue to understand that you are residing with him in glory. That's the shelter that we have. That's the true safety that we have. That's why Romans 8 and verses 31 through 39 are so powerful. Let's go there. You read through the Psalms, and you realize that the Psalms are really directed towards the Christian. And you think about how many of the Psalms are, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shelter." You think about the pictures that the Psalms paint about the Lord as our shepherd. What's he doing? He's protecting. He's sheltering. He's looking after. Romans chapter 8. You're already there. I'm not. Romans 8, 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have distress. We're going to have disease. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have famine. We're going to have nakedness. We're going to have these things. But you know what else we have? A shelter. Perspective that Christ is still on the throne and he has raised us up to be with him right there. Know which one of those things can touch us there? None of them. None of them. And none of them will separate us from the love of Christ. So we can overwhelmingly conquer. We can really live. He's our shepherd. He is our safety. And we can rest in him. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians real quick. It'll probably be another year or so before I get to 2 Thessalonians. So I feel confident that you'll forget about it between now and then. I can preach whatever I want about this passage. No, well, can't preach whatever I want, but preach whatever the scripture says, which is really what I want to preach anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have a unique opportunity. I'm glad this lesson came right now. This passage of scripture came right now for us to be able to be encouraged by, because we have a unique opportunity to be able to show the light of Jesus Christ to those who are around us. See, there are evil men out there. But those evil men, you know what? A lot of times, even the people who are, well, they're not very nice to us, right? They aren't our enemies. You know, it's really Satan and his cohorts that are our enemies. And so when the world gets dark, we have a very awesome and unique opportunity to show the light of Jesus Christ, because those other people, they aren't our enemies. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against principalities and powers and world forces of this darkness. We're fighting against Satan and his minions, and we're trying to get those people, those maybe not very nice people to us, we're trying to get them over to the side of light. We're trying to show that there is actually a place where we can have real hope, where we can have real safety. And it is such an attractive thing, because people are dying. They're desperate for hope. And there are a lot of people that you might not, they aren't wearing a sign on their forehead, but it isn't that hard to spot them. There are people that have never felt safe in their entire life. And one of the things that we can truly offer through Jesus Christ is that you can come, and in Jesus' hand, with Christ in glory, you can truly be safe. That's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting that you can truly be safe. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a lack of excitement in the Christian life. That doesn't mean that there's a lack of danger in the Christian life. But no matter what happens, you can be safe. We'll finish with these three passages real quick about shelter. I thought I would get through more of these, but we'll keep going next week. But, I had these to reference, but I'd like us to look at them, because these are the type of scriptures that probably our families need to hear right now, and definitely those who are in the world who we have a unique opportunity to evangelize during this time, that they need to know that this is what's really being offered through our great God. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We're pretty familiar with what that is, aren't we? The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the words of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the bow. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Do we have a shelter? It's the greatest shelter. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 in verse 7. Well, let's actually take a look at verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time where thou mayest be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. Nahum chapter 1. We'll finish with this. Nahum chapter 1. Verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Let's take refuge in the stronghold of our God, because that's the only place that safety and security can actually be guaranteed. Let's take a rest in that stronghold.